Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Morris Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana El Bay, and tonight we're streaming live from MVTV 1, and we also are on our own switchboards right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have me, and we have Abundance Chow. Abundance Chow, you want to say hello? Are you coming
hello,
in?
Steve.
Okay. All right. I think everybody hears loud and clear. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be dealing with how to create your community infrastructure right where you are. But before we do, Susie, you want to give us some announcements before I give mine, ladies first?
All right. Well, don't forget, you can always tune into Abundant Child Worldwide every Thursday on blogtalkradio.com/Abundant Child. That's 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as a matter of fact, we have shows every Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday on that very same network. So that's blogtalkradio.com/abundancechild.
Okay. And I've been going through some of your other stuff. You got quite a few websites out there and a lot of different things going on.
Yeah.
You want to tell us how to get over there to some of them places?
Absolutely. Well, of course, you can always start with abundancechild.com. That's just my private, just my personal venting information site. The site that actually pulls everything together would be commonsenseconsulting.org. And that will bring you to many other entities. Stopplaying.org. GirlSociety.org, AChildOfAbundance.com, GorillaRepublic.org, GahaMovement.org. So, yeah,
good
you can
Lord.
Just start there. Now, it takes finance off with the nation.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm not that spread of that, ladies and gentlemen. You can... Just hit me up. Just call me, you know, just 904-303-9061. And we want to offer a new article this evening. We're offering the Secrets of America. And the way to access that is by email. Just send me a little request. Say, Tahaka, send me that free article you was talking about, Secrets of America, because this is something that everybody inside the country needs to know about. You just hit me up at Tahaka53@hotmail.com, and I'll send that right on over there to you. Also, we've put the final touches on Tahaka's archives, so you can go there. It'd be much, much easier for you to access the archives. Go ahead and do your little process. As soon as you get done, go ahead and call me, and we get you in there, get you coaching, and get you going. Now, as far as this infrastructure is concerned, what we want to do this evening is we want to, I want to stress the, first of all, the importance of it, and I know the sister got a whole lot to say about that too. we got to do this thing. We got to do it if we plan on surviving inside this United States. We're going to have to start doing something different than we've been doing to save ourselves. Otherwise, we're going to keep right on going and, you know, right on down the tube. So I'm proud to announce that we've met with the contractors and all these people, and they've agreed to come up and start dropping some stuff down on the land so we can get started. And we've started to finance this thing right out of our own pocket. And so I'm encouraging you all to assist us in getting this thing done, because all we have to do is get one up and running. We get one up and running, then we can go cross, sweep across the country and make sure they're running all over the nation. So wherever you are, this is what we want to talk about. We'll show you how to do this right there where you are. Now I'm going to go back over for 1 second, Abundance. If you got anything else to bring in, go ahead and bring it in. I got to take a look at this switchboard over here.
All right, not a problem. Yeah, I definitely agree with what Brother Taharka is saying. And if you do go to abundancechild.com, that's where I do, I write all my little rants. And my last one was called Be Aggressive, because I'm like, at this point, we have to start being aggressive, because I don't really think that people understand when they say that we are dealing with the illusion or we're dealing with the matrix. I know that sounds good, it sounds conscious, it sounds deep, but that's really the case, because of that illusion, because of the structural white supremacy that's been going on, it's hit us in our pockets so deeply that we actually have not been able to affect our own changes that we keep talking about, socially, politically, or economically. So what I'm suggesting is that we be aggressive in our communities, which I'll get into a little bit deeper later on tonight, and on a collective and national level, which is what the Moors, with the Moors Equity Group, are doing in Jacksonville, in Jacksonville, Florida right now. I keep wondering where Georgia.
That's okay. We're going to be all right. Now, what I'm saying... For those of you who are on your social sites, go ahead and send friend requests for friendship to Tahaka Amana L. Bay and Abundance Child. That way you'll have access to our walls and where we are posting information that you can read to be of help for you where you are. I post a lot of videos there. We post audio there. All of my shows go there with an automatic click, so you go directly to it. And so send those friend requests. If you're on Twitter, send me one. If you're on Facebook, send it to me. If you, no matter where you are, LinkedIn, send it over there. And that way we are connecting across the country and being able to communicate with one another. And that's very, very important. Now, I got a... two lines automatically open, area code 347 and area code 302. Could you come on in and share us a little bit? Come on, 347.
Yeah, Noble, how you doing? Islam, Noble, it's coming to you.
Fantastic. Islam. Welcome aboard, brother.
Islam, yeah, brother. You know, Abundance Child is making a good point there, you know, and we do need some communal support. And that's one of the things that we are definitely lacking. I was the other day, matter of fact, this past Thursday or last week Thursday, I was at the Behind the Bench, you know, up in Harlem, New York. They have a brother by the name of Cornelius Ricks. He's doing what you call the Harlem Law Library, and they have a Behind the Bench where you got judges and lawyers who will come and sit down in their spare time, and then we have the brothers in the community and sisters of the community would come out, you know, and put the issues out there. But then we had Automatics as one of the panelist speakers, myself and two other brothers. And we were addressing, you know, these issues concerning what's affecting us in our community and how we can come together and try to overturn unlawful convictions. And so we came up with all kinds of different ideas of what we can do to try to make a change in our community, especially when it comes to economics.
Okay. All right. That's fantastic. All of these are things are absolutely necessary. One of the main things that I know of that we should start doing is, first of all, we got to take a look at where we are. We got to size our communities up in our own heads, and we got to understand that whatever it is that we are planning to do, if we're going to take one city square block, then we're going to concentrate on maintaining control and turning that city block neighborhood portion into a community that we control. Because what's going to happen is we're going to end up having to be totally self-sufficient. So, and we don't have a whole lot of time left. We got to get busy now and start putting this thing together. We got the hydroponics and the aquaponics systems that work perfectly to provide food for the community. There's a lot of vacant lots and stuff there that you have to gain control of so that you can put these systems there, mark your territory, patrol your territory, and enforce control of your territories, monitor your territories, and everybody within the confines of that space should be eventually incorporated into what you're trying to do. Because I don't know nobody in their right mind that would, if you're going to tell them that, hey, I'm going to benefit, you're going to tell me I'm going to benefit from participating in my own community, I'll be able to eat. If times get hard, I got support, I got protection, I got something that I can look at and say, this belongs to me. This is, you know, when I come in here, I'm coming into a nice, protected, and I'm not by myself because I got other people that's involved in maintaining the control of this particular infrastructure. You just start with a block. You know how to look at the whole community. Walk around the block. Take a good look. Talk to your, the people in your community and draw up your plan for how to do this thing. And we already got all that information out. And let them know what you're doing. You'd be surprised at the assistance and the help that you get, because a lot of us are in trouble and we're looking for something. And this is it. Come on in, Abundance. Let us know what you think about that.
Absolutely. I mean, I started something. It's called the Community Co-Learning Project. I did it right here in so-called Delaware. We started out with two people. We're now up to 20 people because this is serious, and people want to actually be affected where they're at. We say, we talk about a lot of this information, but sometimes we can't feel an impact immediately. So what I have been reminding people was that in the 1860s, we only owned one half of 1% of the wealth. It is now 2013. We only own one half of 1% of the wealth. So we keep acting like we are not segregated, that racism, structural racism, hasn't affected us. We are totally in denial. Some of us are dealing with the fact that we understand our nationality, we understand government, and we understand commerce, but we have not been able to actually translate that to the masses as far as what does that mean. So what I did was created the Community Co-Learning Project. You can email me for more information at communitycolearning@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page called Community Co-Learning Cooperative, and that's exactly what we are. We are a cooperative that deals with nationality, government, law, and commerce, and we pay dues, $20 a month, that actually gets put into places where we need it. For example, why do we need to keep buying Colgate and Crest from these super caskets or these drug stores that don't do anything or give anything back to our community, and these products actually hurt us? It's like washing our teeth with lead because it's a byproduct of aluminum, right? We know these types of things, but we keep going out and we keep buying their stuff. Then we call ourselves savvy and conscious because we go out and get to some other Europeans, to Tom's, of Maine, and all these other types of places. No, I make toothpaste. I make my own deodorant. I make my own skincare product called Butterfly Skin, make my own hair stuff. Nobody else in the co-op is doing that right now, so I have that monopoly, but so doesn't Press and so doesn't all these other places or entities that I named earlier. So anybody else that wants to sell their stuff needs to come on and pay $20 a month just like I do. Those $20 a month always also gives you access to free classes and how we can take information. For example, right now we're reading Powernomics, Blueprint to Black Power. We're actually reading those things together, one, to make sure that everybody reads, two, so that we can discuss it as a community, and three, so that we can implement those things. We have people, for example, my parents own an ice cream store. We're the only Morris entity that owns an ice cream store. Nobody better ever get caught going to Reader's Water Ice or get caught going to Friendly's when we have our own. We have to start looking like, we'll start acting like we are segregated as if we have dogs chasing us if we were going to somebody else's entity like it was prior to integration, prior to social integration, because trust me, we are still not integrated. So that's just a little bit more information on what I'm doing. I absolutely agree.
Okay, sister. All right, now we got another caller with his hand raised. Now we got 302. Now wait a minute. 302. Huh?
Yeah, I thought that was me.
That's you?
It might be me.
Okay, 302.
897?
Yeah, that's you. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you go ahead and raise your hands and we'll answer your questions or comments. But I want to get down into how to set these things up. We want to try to deal with some step-by-step instructions how to do that. The first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to decide where, what is the first place that yields the most benefit for you to start this with your situation up. You have a house with a large backyard and say, okay, well, we can set up the first aquaponic system here to let, this could be a show place for the rest of the community to know how it can be done. And then you have a chance to sell them on an idea of everybody doing it at the same time. Then you get the men in the community to agree to protect the community because they're protecting the very food and sustenance that's going to feed them in the event of a collapse. It all boils down to cooperation among yourselves, knowing who you are, taking advantage of your own opportunities right there where you are, taking control of your neighborhood and transforming these neighborhoods into protected communities. And this is something that we do not have across the United States. We got neighborhoods everywhere. We got vacant lots right next door to each other that we could purchase and set up these vegetation and aquaponic systems on. And then we could go into other items that will yield both food and revenue. There's a whole market out there for you. You got your grocery stores across the country that's ordering and shipping and bringing fish in from outside the United States. They're bringing fruit because I know you go in the vegetable section and you see different fruits and stuff from Guatemala and South America and all these different places. That's a market for you. If you're growing it right there in your community, you're growing it organic, that totally eliminates any shipping that any company got to do in refrigeration and packaging and all that from another country. When they can go right down the street and get it from you. That's a market. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars right there in your own community. All you got to do is come together and unite and take this community and make it a single, all-encompassing project to get that done. Because once you get that done, you don't have to worry about tomorrow because it doesn't matter what happens. It'll happen outside your community because you still be eating and your women and children are protected. Because the men have stepped up to the plate, they got to protect the gardens and stuff, so they're patrolling. They're on foot. They got walking talkers. They got telephones. They got cars. the drug dealers know not to come up in there because it's a whole different day. And things ain't going to go so good. So that's what we want to try to discuss here today. I want to also mention one other thing, sister. We met with a contractor down in South Florida, me and Brother Diallo. And this man has come in, and he seen what we was doing. We took him around and showed him what was available just in one square block. He said, I build buildings and houses. He said, I got a lot of stuff right there on my property. He said, I'm going to come and bring it here and drop it off so y'all have these resources. He said, you ain't got to pay me nothing. He said, this represents a whole new dream for me. He said, I'm going to help you with this. If y'all get this off the ground, he said, I feel good inside and out. So this is amazing. This is a brand new market for us right there in our own neighborhood. Okay, so come on in.
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right.
I'm right here.
Well, we want to remind everybody.
Don't we want to remind everybody about the Summit of the Moors, August 16th through 18th in Jacksonville, Florida, and they can go over to diallosekou.com and go ahead and get registered now. Start taking care of those travel arrangements before it gets too late. That way, it's more cheap. It's cheaper that way.
Okay. You're absolutely right. This time, this summit, we want to bring to the table what we have accomplished and so that you can see what we have achieved. Now, I'm also encouraging brothers and sisters all over the United States. You got neighborhoods right where you at. We rolling. Now, you do the same thing. You start rolling. We put it on audio. There's videos. You can go in right there on YouTube and type in aquaponics and hydroponics and see how it's done and see the yield and see the self-sufficiency and see what it's going to take for you to survive. You're going to have to be self-sustaining. And the blueprint for that is right here on the Internet. You can see it with your own eyes and set it up right there where you're at. All you need is a little cooperation. And a little roll your sleeve up, a little hard work, but I guarantee you, you'll be able to survive what's about to come. Sister, I'm going to go ahead and take a little quick break and then come right back, and then we'll open up the lines. If y'all got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll recognize those hands, and we'll get you in here. Okay? All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Sister Abundance, you mentioned about that deodorant. Now, you made that yourself?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And I have, at the summit, I provided an ebook that talked about the importance of getting back to making our own things or supporting people who do. And I gave people the recipe and how to make it.
Okay. All right. Well, the reason why, because I haven't seen that since I was a child. My aunt and them, they used to, and my great-great-grandmama, they used to can foods. They would can peas, peaches. I mean, they had these shelves with rows and rows and rows of food that they have taken out of the garden that they grew themselves, and they put it in these mason jars and sealed them. And it will stay, it will keep, it will stay right there. And
that's right.
So I know it's already in us to survive and to be creative, because we're the most creative people I ever seen. They had the little gas crunch right before Bush left out of office, and the gas was going sky high. But the next thing I know, I seen the brothers riding on bicycles with lawnmower motors attached to them like they had a motorcycle. I said, wow. I said, man, they cannot stop these people.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, give us a little bit more detail about that deodorant. How can we get some of that? I want to try that out.
Yes, thanks. Well, people who are part of the Abundance Network, which is my larger online cooperative, get 30% off all the products. But remember, you can only buy a product from me or anybody else that's a part of the Abundance Network. And there's a process to do that. So that's one thing. You can PayPal me at achildofabundance@gmail.com. That's my PayPal, or it's under abundantchild@gmail. I sell deodorant in 2-ounce units. They are $10 a piece. That doesn't include shipping and handling. And a 2-ounce size deodorant will serve a family of 3 or 4 for about 3 to 6 months, because you literally only need, like, enough to put on your pinky. That's it. And you spread it throughout because it's mixed with aloe and shea butter and things like that. You could abundancechild@gmail.com, PayPal, achildofabundance@gmail.com, or you could simply go to achildofabundance.com. That's the site for all of the products. And not only do I sell those products, but I give people the opportunity to sell 8 units a day, which they can make $300 a week. So basically you can have your own business selling the products also.
Okay, so you offer a little miniature franchise on that too, huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, this is what we got to start doing, because this is what everybody else is doing to us. We have to buy their products from them. Okay, they in our community. The products that they're selling us is connected to their culture, and we have to purchase these products from them. And at the close of the day, none of the money is ever put back into the community. The money goes out the community. The money truck pulls up a couple of times out the week. The guys go in and get the money bags, get in the truck, and go out, and you look around, and the neighborhood is still in shambles. You haven't accomplished anything. And so when we start doing some of the exact same things that you're saying, like creating your own product and providing it to your own people and letting them we do the same thing and keep it among us, this is how to survive. I got a caller on the line. I'm gonna open up the line on area code 716. Could you tell us who you are, where you called it from, what's your question or comment? 716. Last four numbers 8017. Come on in. Okay, well, I guess they don't want to talk to us right now. All right, we going to area code 585-609. Come on in. 585 and ran. 609. Come on in. I guess you don't want to talk to you. All right. Okay. Now, let's go on to the next phase. And that is, there are vacant, large vacant areas in your communities that stores can be erected right there in your community and occupied by you and the your other neighbors right there in your own community. We was looking at them the other day and envisioning how we was going to set up these places and stuff, because what we want to do is we want to eventually have a complete metropolis that's self-sustaining. All the wealth stays in this community. The dollar turns over in this community 9, 10, 11, 12 times before it ever go out, and if it does go out, it's going out to be an investment in something that's going to bring even more revenue to the community. So we have to look at the first part, which is protection. And that's where the men come in, because, you know, a lot of them, you tell them, well, hey, you ain't no man, he ready to fight. Okay, well, hold the fight, and here go opportunity for you to show us what you're working with. So we protect the community by setting up your patrols, and you'll be able to get men, because a lot of them have spare time. Some men get off of work at a certain time, and there's some men that are not working. We're going to utilize all the resources inside the community, and that includes human energy, because it is very, very important for us to understand what we are facing. Just like you said, inside this country, what do you say about the wealth?
So, about us, one half of 1%?
Yeah, that's dangerous. I mean, it's not like we don't have any revenue, but we got to start. We got to make some little alterations to our thinking patterns, so that we can realize that it's time for us to start concentrating on survival of ourselves, because everybody else seems to be connected to their culture. They are setting up their communities. They're keeping the money in their communities. They're refusing to hire you in their places of business. And so how are you going to survive?
Right.
It's going to be rough.
It's three things. It's the structural maldistribution of wealth, because the impact of slavery, which gave them a 1,500 like percent, they just got ahead of us by that much. I couldn't think of the word that I was looking for in the pause. Mm-hmm. But the other two is that we don't know how to behave, we don't know how to act, and a lot of that is because of integration, where it wasn't a political or economic integration, it was more of a social one. So now we feel as though we can act like those who are mimicking us. And the third thing is we don't have any type of real plan. And I think what's awesome is that what's happening right now, which you're a part of, I'm a part of, this whole Moore's Summit, the Moore's Equity Group, the urban geoponics, you know, our own system, which is a version of aquaponics and hydroponics and agriculture, but all of those things put together, like you said, we won't have any of those problems that ails our regular communities that are within this paradigm, because they are ours and they're based off of our own law, government, and principles and things like that. And so therefore, because we're only dealing with that, we won't have an issue with maldistribution of wealth, because now we're not even thinking about anybody else's stuff except our own.
There you go. Now, prior to us attempting to do this, and rope these communities off, these neighborhoods off, and make them into the communities, we're regarded as a nationless people. But now, when you deal with your nationality, you say, okay, well, you know, my nationality is Moorish. You know, I'm a Moor. So I'm attached to nationality and culture and story, too. So things that a lot of people are deprived of as a united front with a nationality and a family name, just like all other nations on the earth, well, we have a brand new paradigm. We can do some things. You cannot say that, well, I can't let you have this because you're a Negro. I just want to know, who are you talking to? Where you at? You're certainly not talking to me. So that was one of the that's one of the things too that we have to deal with. And also, hold on, we got one more caller here. Area code 716.
Peace. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. Who am I speaking to? Where you calling from?
This is Mia in New York Republic.
Okay, what's on your mind, sister?
I tuned in a little late, so I didn't get the website that the sister gave out, and you know, the information you were saying about the vegetables, growing the vegetables.
All right, we're gonna run that. But Abundance, you wanna give her your contact information and bring up the speed of what's going on.
Yeah, the website is achildofabundance.com.
A child of abundance.
.com. Yeah. And I'm actually redoing the site this week to load up more of the products, but that is the site for right now. But the new site will be launched this week because I haven't really been keeping it updated. Also, it's very simple to just email me at abundantchild@gmail.com, or you can call me directly at 347-766.
Okay, hold on a minute, because your voice is breaking up. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, 347, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
766.
766?
Yeah.
Okay.
6717.
6717. Okay, this is Abundance Child.
Yes.
Okay, I was just listening to one of your lectures, one of your old lectures the other night. Okay.
Yes,
but thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, I thought I recognized that voice. I'm enjoying the show. And I was feeding my grandson, and I looked at the clock, and it was like a quarter after 7. I said, oh, my gosh, the hark is on. Let me tune in. So I'm trying to feed him at the same time. So, okay, I'll let you all go back. I had just wanted to get that information, you know, before, and I didn't know how long the show was. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Peace.
All right, sister, peace. Okay, upon us.
Yes.
Didn't you mention something that I don't know where I stuck in my mind, but didn't you mention something about soap, too?
Yep. I'm not playing. I'm trying to take over Johnson & Johnson, yes.
Okay.
No, please, get out of here with that mess.
All right. Okay. Because, you know, my great aunt and them, they used to make their own soap. You didn't need but a little bit of it got all the dirt. I mean, you'd be really, really clean. Okay, that's great. We got to start doing these things, man. I mean, all of us, because all of us are born with talents, and but a lot of us put our talents to the side and do what we think is called being on Easy Street, But now we're in trouble as a nation. And that brings me to another point, because I want to talk about dealing with the actual infrastructure of the system, because you're going to need a central location or some type of system, and there should be a plan in place on paper and on your computers to put in the hand of every resident inside the satellite where you're going to create your infrastructure, so everybody will be aware of what you're doing. You're not just out there on the corner building this hydroponic and aquaponic system and cornered off these lots and providing security without everybody in the community knowing about the wonderful work that you're doing. And when you make everybody aware of what you're trying to do and let them know what they're up against, then you have more cooperation. You see, you have more unity. And then you'd be surprised at the type of camaraderie and unity. You know, people that run in the house, you know, I got this right here. I can get y'all this right here. Well, I mean, okay. Well, hold on a minute. Let us get started building some things, and then we'll get to all that. We certainly appreciate you. And we just needed to know if you own our team. And see, when we get this type of cooperation from the community members that within the area that we're going to provide this this community, now we have a force that we can work with. We have participation in there. And that makes it much, much easier, especially when you got people in your neighborhood that don't look like you, taking your money, selling you products, and then taking the money out of your neighborhood. So we need to stop patronizing that. And if they're not being patronized and ain't making no money, that means the door got to shut.
That's right. Also, yeah, be aggressive. That's my new stance right now.
Exactly. You got to be aggressive to do this right here. You can't give up. There's nothing that should come along and cause you to roll over on this right here, because this is not a game. This is a matter of survival. We're going to have to survive, and so therefore we're going to not only have set up these systems with a core group, our banking structure is going to have to be in place, our cooperation and unity between the brothers and sisters in the community, the elderly people, the young, the old, everybody is going to have to come together within the confines of the structure and make sure that we have participation from everybody. You know, back when I was growing up, we used to have these row of houses, and my grandmother, and these houses were quite close to each other. They would sit on the front porch and talk to each other all the way down the line, hold a conversation with each other. And if you came from somewhere they didn't know who you was, they didn't ever see you ride there before, then you automatically under investigation. They had these expert interrogation practices. The first thing they want to know is, who's your family? Don't y'all, you some kin to so and so and so? In other words, show us some ID. But they had a way of getting to know, because there's nothing going to come up in there that they didn't see, didn't know about, and go get away with doing no type of corruption. So they own it. Now, we had a lady live across the street from her. Her name was Ms. Govan. We had some beautiful girls lived upstairs with us. That lady had six daughters, And my mama had four sons. So she told me, she told me, go back and say, look, you know what to do. So we come outside and we sit out there. And one day the girls invite us on the front porch. We go back and say, I see you. I'm going to tell. I mean, you're coming out the front door and I'm watching you. So we have to get back to this type of community participation with one another, you know? So that all comes in when you going to build, you're talking about taking control of your neighborhood and turning it into a community. These type of things need to be reiterated. Go ahead, sister.
Again, I loved your story, and that gives me more inspiration to continue doing what I'm doing, because when we start investing in each other on the level where you actually have to sign a contract when you become a part of this co-op that I started. Like, I know how much deodorant it takes for a family of four. I know how much toothpaste. If you're not buying that from me, that means you're getting it from somewhere else. And now I have a problem. Everybody has a problem because we agreed that we were only going to buy from each other, like you said. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're doing something outside of that, now it's like you're bringing a virus into the community. That's how mm-hmm. we have been allowed to be messed up as a people. You know, we're supposed to be worshiping under our own vine and fig tree. When that happens, we only buy from underneath. We only buy from the fruits that the vine and fig tree produce. And so that's where I'm at with that. I'm saying that we have to be aggressive. And one other thing that's going to make us successful is that we are the so-called rejects of society. You know, when really we are the winners, but society calls us the rejects. You know, we are rejected because we made a few mistakes, but because of their commercial system, we have convicted felons, we have people with bad credit, we have 75% of our women that are single parents and things like that. It's just getting ridiculous. But we really ultimately can win if we start utilizing the rejects as a part of our community and give them all the resources they need. They should be the first people that have the job. You know, the sisters should be the first people that I'm targeting with making these products and selling these products. Why would I go to somebody who graduated from some great university and got their degrees? No, I want the sister that went through the degrees that our people have went through, and she doesn't have a man in her household right now. She's raising these children by herself, and she's not able to get a decent type of job because nobody wants her because she doesn't have a degree. She, you know, was addicted to something in the past. You know, all those things that consider us the rejects, those are the people that I feel like we should be targeting.
Okay, I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people right in our own neighborhood.
Right.
Why are we going outside? Yeah, you got single women, single parents, they got sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us is born with a talent. I had laid out one plan to self-employ the sons of single women. By giving them a couple of blocks. And they just say, Ricky, all of these people in this block on this list has agreed to let you do the yard and the hedges. They're going to pay you for it. This your block. All right? Now, your brother, his block is two streets over. You see, that's his block. That's his money. The people have agreed to pay you. And now what you going to do, Ricky, is you got to behave, and we want to try to keep the money in the community, so you give us $2 from each yard you do, and we'll put that into the community fund. So when we get ready to expand, you need new equipment to cut the yards, you need fuel, you need oil and stuff like that. Well, you might come out your pocket. You come back to us, and we'll give you some of that money because we're going to take the money and invest it in the community and make sure it turns over more money. But we got community participation.
Exactly.
The car washes. We can wash all the cars in our community.
That's right.
Right there. Set up our own car wash. Now, you can come in our community to get your car wash, but you can't come up in there and set up no car wash.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And we apply the same program to it. Whatever stores we got, we occupying. We set aside a small portion of the profits that they're making and put it into the community fund, you see. So we have revenue that's accumulating interest. We're going to invest it after we have a community vote. Everybody get together and decide what the best investment to make. Then we can invest it to bring more revenue into the community. But we have to act like an incubated society, and this is exactly what other people are doing. You know, I just left out of South Florida. You got Little Haiti down there. Big building. Little Haiti on the wall, red and white writing. And all the rest of the language is in their language. Now, you know, if you go up in there, everybody in there looks like them.
That's right.
You come in there and buy something and spend your money, but the only money you're going to take out of there is the change you make from what you done spent. You cannot come up in there talking about setting up nothing. And see, that's they have total control of their community. They got the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
They got the barbershops. They got the hair salons. They got the mechanic shops. They got all of these things right there in that community, and it all provides food, shelter, and clothing for the whole community. They got gardens. They got gardens. They got tree farms. They grow these palm trees down there, and they sell these palm trees outside their community. They got plant nurseries and stuff. All this is right there in their community.
Mm-hmm.
All the money is kept right there in that community. And we got the same thing out in Texas. You see the signs say Little China, Little Korea, and the rest of them writing in their language. That's how they mark their territory. And that's a signal to anybody that don't look like them talking about coming up in there doing something.
Indeed. That's what we need. Morristown, Little Morristown.
There you go. All you got to do is see when the brothers and sisters get together and start patrolling their communities and making it safe for the women and children at night, then you have even more camaraderie and association between each other.
Mm-hmm.
More stick-to-itiveness. Then you got the security forces, but you also have neighborhood watches right there. Because everybody's watching. Yeah.
I was watching, and I don't know how real this reality TV is, but I just wanted to watch it because I grew up, again, in so-called Delaware and surrounded by Amish folk, right? So I've been watching the Amish Mafia. I'm like, everybody got the point or got the memo except us. They had these people dressing up like the Amish, selling crafts that they didn't actually make, and undercutting the real Amish community. Them boys went up in there, knocked their stuff out, started speaking in their Dutch German language or whatever, which he clearly didn't speak. And they don't have that problem anymore. They have every type of issue that they have, even if it was an issue between them. I respect and I like the fact they never called any authority outside of their own on them people.
There you go.
And they call it the mafia, and it's really not a mafia. All they're doing is protecting the women and the children. They're like, look, we don't like no green corn up in here because green corn, which is herb or marijuana, causes the outside to look at our community. We don't need those people coming up in here. So if you're dealing with, he just went in there and burned all the crops that they had. They were doing races and stuff like that, and they decided that they were just going to teach the brother a lesson that was doing something out of line. He just destroyed his horse and buggy. Not the horse, but the buggy, which would be equivalent to destroying one of our cars because you came up in our town and you started doing something that our community didn't consider that was all right. This was not appropriate behavior for our community, but you came into our community and you did something. So he just what? He just took his car out and was like, now what? So I'm like, everybody has got it except us. We often talk about the Jews in Brooklyn and stuff like that. I'm like, hello.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. These people are able to do that because they think as a collective body of people. They are connected to a specific culture and story. And what is unusual and ironic is the fact that we have a culture and a story too. But we keep falling after something else instead of learning our story and connecting to our culture so that we can begin to act as a collective body too. If we don't own no ships bringing drugs into the country, that means somebody else is bringing it in here and pulling it in and finding its way into our community only to be destroyed. See, cocaine is not made to be used. It's only made to be purchased and sold. You sell it to the next man, he step on it, sell it to the next man. He step, but don't nobody take none of it. You ain't supposed to take none of it. Anybody. It's just, but we figured that one out yet. We feel like, well, we get this in there, we're going to sell it to my brother and drag him down to the ground, and he don't pay me for the drugs, then I'm going to beat him up. What kind of infrastructure
right.
you going to have? You're going in backwards, in the opposite direction. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a shipment of cocaine for free to sell it. And then you just say, well, hey, man, that's not a part of my historical culture. I'm a better man than that. You can't give me nothing to destroy my brother because I need him. Because he's going to help me with you.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to start thinking as a collective body. Everybody do it. Everybody
that's
across
right.
the board do the same thing. You go up in Little Italy. Go up in, they got them up in New York City. Go up in there. Little Italy, little Italian town up in there. Talking about you going to try to run something. Are you going to sell a product up in here, and are you going to make your price lower than everybody else up in there? No.
Okay.
You be catching a train or a plane or a bus or something up out of there quick because they're coming at you collectively. And we have to learn how to think this way. So, once again, before we go on, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to make mention of the fact that we have created an archive, and the way to access that is go to tohakaarchives.com and go ahead and process yourself there. And we have tons of information inside those archives about your story and your culture that you can learn from and get and also how to deal with your debt collectors and bill collectors and such. I have another caller, and I'm going to make sure that I haven't done this one already. I'm going to Erico 706. 706.
Yes, sir.
Come on in, brother. Tell us who you are. Where you calling from? What's on your mind?
It's Dalo Sakul. Calling from
what's going on, bro?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, you got it, man.
Hey, darling.
How you doing, Abundance Child?
I'm doing great, Dalo Sakul.
Just listen, enjoying. Want to add a little something to it.
Come on.
Right now, I'm sitting there finishing up the paperwork, so the people that's a part of it, they'll be getting their paperwork this week, the formation of the LLP, and shortly behind you'll see the formation of the Urban Geoponics that's going to be making headways starting on the east side of Duval County soon. And I'm just really excited about it. Y'all will be excited when you get in the mail, you get it through your emails. People already start to donate the gift cards, which we appreciate. We're not asking for any cash right now. We just ask because the group is going to fund our own project. And then the people people who want to donate cash, there'll be things set up directly where you can just go to a site or to a particular bank and donate the cash if you want to donate and you're not an owner or you just want to be an investor. Those things, they already be set up for you next week. So we're excited about it, man. Home Depot cars, Lowe's cars, PVC pipes, wood. People want to bring that, drop it off. We're going to get it in. And I'm looking maybe like at maybe somewhere at the end of February that we all could just come together. Tahaga going to throw some veggies and some fish and whatever else people eat on the grill, and we're just going to do a little sweat equity out there and let the people see that our transformation is starting to take place.
Okay. Well, I'd certainly do the cooking. I used to sell that fish, man. I had the best fish on the street. Everybody in the city thought.
Yeah.
I wonder where all my customers went. The lady said, "I just come up down Lim Turner. Everybody down Lim Turner doing what you doing and got a sign up say hot fish."
So
I come out there and put my Bunsen burner down there, throw the grill out there, and we get it going on, man. Yes, sir.
You know,
we got to do this thing. This is a matter of survival, man.
One thing about Jacksonville, Florida, man. If it's 75 degrees, it's a grill out on the back porch, front porch. Somebody got the card table out. It's just like a big island, except it's a city.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Well, this time we're doing it as a collective body, and with the goal of creating and taking control of our neighborhoods and turning it into communities and taking responsibility for the community and the people in the community, whether they are single or married or young or old, everybody going to benefit.
Quick question. I walked away from the phone for what? Did Abundance talk about her pea soup and veggie burgers and all that in the V spot?
She ain't told me about that, girl. Why you holding back?
About the food? She didn't talk about that.
Come on, huh? Come on here. Let us have that. I ain't know nothing about that. Come on here.
I'm doing the educational piece now. It's called DropSquadKitchen.com. But the V spot is a spot that I'm opening up. The grand opening is gonna—I'm opening it up in March. But the grand opening is gonna be in June, with the goal and intent to be a fast food establishment internationally. But of course, we're gonna start nationally, and it's just gonna be unapologetically healthy food that is grown by us for us. However, we're gonna benefit off of this whole movement of eat organic, eat vegan, be raw. You know, think about when you ride down the highway and you don't have any other choices other than Starbucks, Pizza Hut, McDonald's, things like that. What if you could stop and get some smoothies or a veggie burger or something like that? So that's in the 5 to 10 year phase of the project. But one of the things that's going to fund that is doing the community cooperative things that we're doing. I'm working with Dallo, actually, to help me organize the contents of my brain and bring out and start, you know, slow with, you know how you got Sylvia's in the store or you have Stouffer's lasagna? Well, I have a vegan lasagna. I have greens macaroni and cheese or vegan macaroni and cheese. I have everything that can be frozen, basically, that we can have in our own, we can purchase from the cooperative, but also that can be in all of these retail establishments.
Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to, first of all, it's something else that we want to understand. What we're talking about doing is, just think about this for a moment. You go inside a grocery store. And they have what's called a health food aisle in that grocery store. Mm-hmm. Okay, if they got a health food aisle and all the food in that aisle is supposed to be healthy, then what is it the rest of the stuff out there they're selling us. So when you go in there and you look around for organic foods, the price is sky high. But we're talking about creating communities where that's all that's available.
That's right.
There are no chemicals. There are no, none of that. Everything is holistic, wholesome, organic. Even what we feed the fish with that will supply the fertilizer to grow the plants is holistic and pure. So if a grocery store down the street, if they bring it in fish from Guatemala and China stuff, and you got holistic foods right down the street, common sense would tell me, man, you call China and tell them we're going to, we certainly appreciate doing business with you in the past, but we don't have to go down here to the Moles, because the Moles got something going
right
on down there.
I like that, Moles.
Yeah. Now, I do some do a little vegetable thing, but I just, it's a little real simple recipe that I do with chopped vegetables and stuff, and I throw them on the grill with my little natural seasonings and stuff on there. And they are delicious. And
I did the same thing that you did. But what I did is I'm like, okay, a lot of people are still living in this fast food world, this microwave world. So when you talk about that aisle, we don't have a presence in that aisle. I know you've noticed that. Everybody else has a presence with their oils and their herbs and their potato chips and stuff like that. But everybody loves the so-called soul food vibe. There is no unapologetically healthy soul food, anything that's represented in those aisles. So you need to take your little vegetables as soon as they're picked and you freeze them. And then you take your seasoning and you put that in a package and you put that in there so it's ready to go. Just take these vegetables. They're already portioned out for you. You know how they like it because they're too lazy to go wash and cut their stuff up by themselves. They don't want to pick out the season. They want the ready-made season. They want it just the way you had it. You give them that. You put the harka on there. Boom, we in business.
All right. And y'all buy it, and I guarantee I put some of the money back in the community.
Exactly. That's how we have to do it. And we say that. This is how we they do it. A portion of these proceeds go to the little kids in Ethiopia. A portion of these proceeds, when you buy these shoes, go to buying shoes from somewhere that I've never even heard of and can't even put out. We need to do the same thing. A portion of these proceeds go to benefit us.
I know that's right. I'm going to let Diallo tell us about the young man that made the shoe.
I seen that you said he's scratching his door, and I know that Joshon does not.
Air code 706. 706, last phone number, 3676. Tell us who you are, where you calling from. Come on in here.
Boy, where you going?
All right. Diallo. Diallo, you still there, brother?
Yeah, you have me muted, brother. I'm here.
All right. What about the man that make the shoes?
Yeah, we got the brother out of California who worked with such people as Carl Kanai and some other brothers, Fubu. He was one of the first designers in the country and actually made his own shoe. And the shoe was called Athluxury. It's a mixture of, it has the build of a tennis, or, you know, a Converse, a tennis shoe. But it's like one of my favorite ones is the one that's covered with the ostrich skin. It's real fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I saw that.
He's coming. He's working diligently to get that back on top. And, you know, we had some private conversations about the way I thought that he should be looking at as far as us. And, you know, with the shoe company, as long as we own it, you know, we can outsource that business until we get that label for us. Well, we're doing everything vertically. We own and control everything. So we can talk about what Dr. Henry Clark talked about when he said, well, we don't make a handkerchief, we don't make underwear. We'll be able to make take the cotton, turn it into the fabric, put the seams on it from top to bottom, being able to control that. And then when you're doing that, other people are looking at you and they want to utilize, if you got a great product, people want to utilize your services. And that's what we'll be looking at in August, talking about manufacturing, bringing in 300 to 400 jobs that we own the business though. But that brother, we, you know, of course, like I'm sure all of us have been getting calls, still getting calls from the summit about people willing and wanting to be a part of this, add something to it. And, hey, no one is getting turned down, man. It's just, we're just happy it happened and keeping it going. We are moving forward. That's just the bottom line. It's aggressive movement. There is no more waiting because you know what the wait did. It broke the bank. Oh.
Yep.
Keep on waiting.
Right now.
Yeah, it's happening right now. But let me say this about Abundance, man. Whoever got on her, man, she's very important. She's a very important symbol in everything that we do because she brings the balance. Instead of always seeing this boys' club or this sausage locker room, it's always men and brothers,
yeah.
And nobody really want to have the sisters. Like this ain't no. Don't nobody want no soft woman, and don't no woman want no soft man. There's no big M's and little M's. Everybody's a soldier in this thing. There's no leaders. This is a group effort. And we just happen to be the voices of it at this time. But it's who's ever next. So, whatever. It's a plenty enough work for everybody in this thing. Everyone is inclusive in this. But this sister is important because she brings a lot of energy. She brings qualifications, one of the most important things, and she's honest and sincere. And
well,
Well,
what you got to say about that, sister?
I'm just kind of speechless. Well, no, good thing. You know, I'm not speechless, but I'm just saying it kind of like, what, for real? But I give thanks because I really have felt that way. And I don't know if he said that because of, you know, me ranting to him in the past. Like, I've been blessed to be around a lot of very talented, intelligent, and I feel like some of the most influential Moors of, you know, the past, like, 20-something years. But I always feel like at the end of the day, like, I really don't have a say. Everybody wants my energy up front and center. We got to run it, child. Or something like that. But I really am not called to any of the real meetings. Nobody's keeping up with me, you know, behind the scenes, things like that. So when I really do feel like a lot of the reasons why we're not able to progress in any of these great ideas that we have is because they don't give sisters an equal footing to do what it is that we should be doing. And I think also that a lot of sisters need to step up. And they need to be able to hold their weight around these brothers that are actually trying to do the work. And you can't, it's like you got to stay strong, but you have to remain soft. And I'm not saying that I'm all of that, but I think that Dalo has heard me and the other brothers like yourself, Taharka and Sundiata, that we've been working with diligently. I feel kind of equal. I feel like I have a place amongst y'all and that I always have to be quiet and things like that. So that's really good. And I like when I could be abrupt, I could be blunt, and I could be honest, and nobody tries to say, oh, she's trying to have pants on. Nobody's made me feel like a man, like I'm trying to be a man in this organization and in this group, you know, everything that we're doing. So that's why I kind of felt speechless, because I really do feel at home and I feel comfortable here amongst us.
Well, when you're down here with us, you know we're going to take care of you. We got to look out for you, because you're a rare bird. You make your own, the oldest million, this million, oh, good Lord, we got it.
Y'all got that 7 hospitality thing down pat.
Oh, yeah, now we, well, see, down here, we try to take care of our babies. And so I got a little gym down here, and I open up the doors at 8:30 in the morning, and I want all the fellas of the our security forces to come on in and get up in here and I'll get some of them old teachings that the brothers taught me when I was 16 years old. They took us under our wings and taught us. So we want to make sure that the brothers is in shape. So when they start patrolling and start taking control of their neighborhoods and turning them into communities and walking and on foot and on in them cars and stuff, that they feel good and they look good too. And they're nice and strong and in shape. So they are forced to be reckoned with for any outside influence that will come in there and try to come in there and bring some type of corruption in there. And then the most important thing that they have is they're all on the same team. Because we all have the same goal. We have the same agenda. And the people we protected have the same agenda too.
So, can I mention something?
Go ahead, brother.
One element I forget to mention is the voice, which is going to be a prime example, not only to the city but to the rest of the nation, about us being active in our community. This would be literally us being active in our community, not the neighborhoods. And so when those unconscious more see that there's another people look just like them, maybe dress a little different, but we just like y'all standing up, hopefully we can spark some influence and some courage in the rest of the people, man, and shake that Negro syndrome off of them, man, and come on home. See, we can't just have the security force and like be closed off to ourselves amongst ourselves. We have to remain inclusive to the other folks. Like, for example, I mean, I got to get with you, but I'm going to Tallahassee tomorrow for this one sister who's a part of the organization I'm a part of, because the other organization that I resigned as VP, but I remained a member, ain't doing nothing, okay? They don't show a force. When people threaten our people, we got to show up in numbers, man, okay? We got to show up in numbers and intelligently be able to defend it, and if anything jump off, break their neck, excuse me, lame. Do you understand what I'm saying? If that's to happen. See, these other people are marching and singing, which I don't have no problem with demonstrations. That's fine. But when you threaten the family, there's an issue. If there's a lawsuit to be placed, then we handle those, but this sister's in Lake City, and we're going to go to this commissioner counter thing in Lake City next Thursday, show up in numbers, and I will put them on notice on paper and in front of the county commissioner what our intentions are. If anything was to ever happen to her, if there was to threaten her again. See, we can't be sitting at the house by ourselves. We don't have no strength there. That's what the whole community aspect is about. We can have one of the sisters exercise and yoga the elders in the morning, like when you see the Tai Chi with the Asians. Same thing with us. Get our elders out, drive them to wherever we need to go. Let's exercise at the park in the morning. The park's right down the street. The voice is the active voice. You won't see no more politics. You still see the politicians, you still see the preachers, but you see the more equity group standing up. We may throw some block parties. We're going to do everything we've been doing, except we are actually creating the proactive approach. We are creating the atmosphere that will come out, children will come out with the right mindsets. There's no drugs. There's no violence. You see what I'm saying? It's a family-orientated community. So this is the proactive approach to us killing each other, to us selling dope, to us going straight to prisons, to us going to their schools, because our industries will fund our own private schools. This is the solution. And it don't matter if you're a temple, empire, wherever you come from, as long as you know who you are, you're welcome. You get out of line, you out. That's just shit. You ever seen that movie? Somebody was telling me the movie, the one boy put out when all these Europeans, they were all professionals, and they got tired of society. So they went and moved into the woods. But they used this monster to scare the children not to go beyond the woods' edge. And when one of the children got hurt, M. Night Shyamalan was the director. I thought it was funny. At first, it was like everybody was walking out the movie. I kind of stayed in and was mad at first. Then when I was driving home, I was like, oh, I get it. They got tired of being in an effed up place, so they created a whole nother world and time lock the time frame and how they dressed and how they spoke in order just to secure a place for their children. So we're looking at our children. We're looking at 25, 30 years down the line. We have to secure something for our children. If we come up 148 years and we're at this point now and we haven't taken any real drastic or revolutionary actual changes, then it's going to be another 148 with the same thing.
You're talking about The Village?
Yeah, The Village.
I couldn't figure. I was like, what is that movie? The Village.
Yeah,
I'm feeling you. Yeah.
Well, doing what you have to do collectively is what we have to understand, because that's what's happening to us. Everybody else is acting collectively. You know, they want to hold their wealth in their hands. They do not want to allow you to be employed in their store. They're taking the money out of your neighborhood. So we have to do these things in order to survive. And we are the most talented people on the planet. Everyone is more talented than us. I mean, we bring stuff out of nowhere. I got back there. Everybody's impressed with my little gym, but I went in there and created that stuff in there. I mounted them steel bars and dumbbells and ran them up the wall. I built that. I created a gorilla machine. I had a cop come over there. He said, "What is that?" I said, "That's a gorilla machine." He said, "How it work?" I said, "I'm going to show you." And I got up there and I done the exercise with him, and he seen it. And he tried to do it. I said, "You're doing it wrong. If you're doing it wrong, you ain't going to be able to lift it." And no matter what he did, he could not live because he kept doing it wrong. Yeah, where did you find this design? I said, "I found it out of my head." Well, so we're very, very talented people. And so when we come together collectively and we start showing that we can protect one another and move together as a single unit, creation of an infrastructure, we are. There's a whole different chapter in history. Let me open up this next line here. Area code 404. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment?
Yes, sir. This is Ankh Ahmad Amon, better known as Dwayne Waters, here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm excited, and just wanted to tell the brothers that. The spiritual aspects of what we're trying to do are in alignment with who we are in this day and time. I just want the public to kind of understand that you have people in your community, again, who take money out of your community, but you flock because it's convenient. And they're selling you slits, malt liquors, lottery tickets, cigarettes, and the things that are killing you. So, you know, I'm just here to say that it's a group of people here in this area. It's a very spiritual place. A very positive place when you're doing the right thing. Our ancestors are watching every move that we make, and we must be mindful that they paved the way for us to be at this point. Even though our conditions in our community may seem grim at times, you better know that I can still see my grandmother singing those songs. Even though they were Negro spiritual songs, they were in touch with spirit more so than what we see in these organized religions that they call Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and all of this stuff. We have to go to the foundation and the examples that were left in stone and on papyri are there for our children to understand. And I'm with you, brother, about your archives. I'm promoting it, and hopefully things will manifest in the way that we desire them. We just need to continue to understand that we're upholding a legacy in our communities, and this is something that's already been done before. So it's nothing new under the sun. This is a part of our DNA makeup, and I'm quite sure it's a lot of people who are feeling all of this DNA change that's going on within ourselves. So I really feel like no matter what we talk about, it's already being manifested on a different dimension. So we're going to be all right. I just want to put that in there.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you calling in, my brother. We thank you for dropping that information on us.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Area code 972. 972.
Yes, Brother Tahaka, good evening. This is David calling from Dallas, Texas. I'm just listening to the show, and whenever I'm excited about what you all have in store, the plans and whatnot, but whenever I go to church, I hear the Baptist folks taking up money. They don't mind asking. So I think it's in line if all of our listeners send in a little something to get this off the ground. $10, $15, $20, $100, something. You know,
got to tell. Let me add to that. We have a plan. We self-funding it. There are people who already signed up as owners, so we're going to fund it like that. But I was asking earlier, until that group gets until we get to everybody get that paperwork, that right now, even while we're still together, people can donate the gift cards, the Home Depot cards, Lowe's cards. That's the main place where we're going to be getting our supplies from. Now, if you want to cut that check, make sure you call the mic out the air. We're going to get that number, brother.
Okay.
Because
we ain't turning no money down now.
What we're doing is we're viewing our money in a whole new perspective because we are focusing on one central activity for the survival of our species. And we know that if we start somewhere, then we are able to create something for the people to see. And not only will we be providing protection and all the things for the community, but we will provide hope for our people across the country. They'll come to town, and I know they'll come to town. If you tell them that, well, these people down here, they have created a community.
A mecca.
It's thriving, and it's turning into an oasis. They self-sustaining. You got brothers in California, I'm going to go to Jacksonville and take a look at this. Well, come on down. We'll get some of these. So that's what we're doing, and everybody in this thing is focused, everybody's participating, everybody's hands-on, and I look at us making progress every day on this thing. So by the time we get ready for the next summit, we'll be able to come to that summit and put what we've done on the table and where we are.
We'll be cooking that fish at the summit.
Oh, you want me to throw some fish out on this? Okay, I can do that too. I'll bring it. I got a couple of deep ones. I go down there and get my boys to hook me up, and I come in put them in. Now I have a special seasoning now. Special recipes. That's why everybody in town was buying the fish from me. They were like, man, this is good. And all you charging is $5. Lord have mercy. So I dip it in my special recipe, and do them in peanut oil. You know, and I don't use none of the other stuff.
We're gonna have to bottle out with nothing, put it on the shelf too, huh?
Exactly.
No.
That's what it is.
That belongs to the community, and I gotta show y'all how to make that that stuffed fish. And you go and get you a big snapper and get you some crabs and go ahead and get the meat out of them and stuff them with that crab meat and that stuff. I might be revealing too much.
You be done put Arthur Treacher's and Long John Silver and all them out of business.
Oh,
so,
no,
know,
they
were.
They was out of business when I was selling fish.
Exactly.
Shoot. When I was out there selling fish, they was out of business because everybody coming around in my house. Had a yard full of folks right here. I know the restaurant closed today. But anyway,
I was reading to my youngest daughter today. She was like, "All right, so what are you talking about?" And I said, "I was researching the various companies that benefited from our bondsmanship." And she wanted to know which companies. And particularly were there any companies that I actually use? And she said, well, Mom, Bank of America's on here. You use that. I said, yeah, I'm done. Like, tomorrow I'm closing up. I'm closing that account. Like, I mean it. Because I really only utilize it in order to, you know, pay for stuff online and things like that. But we went through it. We went through all the banks, all the various companies, the insurance agencies, Aetna, to, like, the different newspaper companies. And she said, so what are you trying to do? She said, are you, and before I could even answer, she said, are you trying to put all these companies out of business? I said, yes, that's exactly what I plan to do. And, you know, that's what I think that all of us should be doing. And even if that's not, even if that's like that goal is too far off, we should want to have our own everything, our own banking systems, our own schools, instead of, because that's what they have. It's just on a large scale. It doesn't seem like it's a community. But United States Corporation is a big behind community of everything that they have interest in. And we're not anything that they're interested in other than using our human resources for, like, we're just volunteering our human resources, where before we didn't volunteer, ain't nothing really changed. So that kind of just made me think about, when my daughter was asking me that, I was kind of like, you know, silent for a second, but I was like, yeah, basically that's what I want to do. Because if we stop putting all our finances to their bank, we stop going to their supermarkets, we stop going to their schools, what else do they have? And we need to do from, you know, our point of view first, not because we just want to put them out of business, but because, you know, we are self-reliant first.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Hey, Diallo, you
yes,
want
sir.
To share some light on some of this banking up in this thing?
Sure. We have a bank that we're going to be dealing with. It's a national bank. And the great thing about the bank that we're going to be dealing with is she's a friend of the family. She's a highly qualified banker who retired out of L.A. and came out of retirement and is now banking as the manager of SunTrust. So SunTrust would be our bank for the moment. When I say the moment, it ties in right what Abundance was talking about. We're moving directly in the direction of self-sustainability. So eventually, I projected 5 to 7 years to own a bank, but I had a meeting with the brother who buys bank, and he said we can have one a lot sooner than that when we deal with credit unions. We can get credit unions at about $15,000 to $20,000. I don't know exactly the ins and out, but it's not $4 million, but the projected price was. So at some point in the near future, before we die, see, we always thought that we couldn't get what we wanted for our children. Like, our children going to reap the benefits. We're going to reap it right now. We're going to get our piece of heaven. We're going to build it up. We will be going into the banking business. We will be going to the manufacturing business. We immediately will be going into the production, distribution business, which is what you keep in mind is that we are immediately becoming an independent economic system. This is what we created by using aquaponics, but we are now calling it as urban geoponics because we're not just doing fish and greens. We're educating and we are empowering. We're giving away and we are uplifting humanity. So can't nobody come and do what we do because we're doing
that's
it
right.
from the soul. You understand? So we're taking it, we're doing it vertically, and we're going horizontal with it. We're going to go to the next city, the next state, the next state. And we're going to keep the summits going. They're going to always remain the same way they keep going so the people can get involved and become a part of this. So when you talk about 30 communities with, let's say, 100 people in it, that's, what is that, 3,000 people. And, again, I like to use an example because I know how some of us like Cadillacs, and we like, hey, let's call Cadillac, let's get 3,000 Cadillacs. Of course, they're going for like 35. Well, shit, we got 3,000 people. We want it for the 15. That's now aggregated buying power. We now can brag about more as having buying power because we're doing something together. If we want to influence the national vote, we may not want to vote, but we'll influence everybody else to go and create an independent party. We could do that. Even if that independent party is, we know, may not win, but it can just bring up issues in other communities that need to be dealt with. That's us. That's how you influence from the inside out. That's what that aggregated, that unified power does versus the different suburban and black neighborhoods. But if we have our own community, we're on the same mindset, we're on the same vision, we want to protect, create wealth for our children,
then we could do all that. We could change. I hate how I like to say it, but we could change the world, man. I mean,
right? Yeah, our world. Yep.
That's the only world. That's the only world I know, baby.
Exactly.
I hear you, brother. There's no doubt. And those you mentioned the credit unions. And
let me interject something. I'm gonna tie right back into that. Walmart is a religious organization. Tyson Foods is a religious organization.
The largest, yep, and the largest meat, you know, organization
Chick-fil-A.
In the United States.
That's right. Chick-fil-A is a religious organization. So what you think we about to do? Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah.
Okay, but I want you to give us the difference between them banks and them credit unions.
You got to get somebody qualified for that. I'm not even going to sit here and lie to you. I have a brother that's schooling me on that. But they're all tied into the Federal Reserve. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. Maybe someone else more qualified can build on the difference between them.
Area code 716. Last phone number is 8017.
Did you want me to help answer that question?
Go ahead.
Yeah, come on in.
All right. I mean, from the outside, a bank and a credit union, they're going to look very similar because they both offer a checking account, they both offer a savings account and other financial products like CDs and money market accounts. And any of the services that you expect to get at a regular bank like Wachovia or Bank of America, Wells Fargo, you could get from a credit union. One of the differences is that credit unions tend to be with – credit unions kind of usually deal with more organizations and things like that, and they're small and they're regional and they're always community-oriented. And the things that make the credit unions easier to establish is because the base of the operations are going to be a lot smaller than if you're trying to start a bank. So – one of the things that the way that the credit unions work and what sets it apart from banks is that it trying to figure out a way to put this. It's completely different in the way that, you know, we deal with money as far as this society is concerned. Most of us don't use the opportunities of financial institutions because it's overwhelming. And then when you deal with a credit union, you don't have to deal with a lot of those types of things. So it's the basic big business structure of the bank and the credit union why they do things a little bit differently. But it's really no difference. It's just one is more community-based, and they're using the funds of, like, people, whereas these larger banks are – some of them are not real. For example, you know how, like, when they first started out and the reason why they had the FDIC, they were actually – like Dollar, you put in 10, the Harker, you put in 10, I needed to borrow 10, you know, it came from you, both of y'all's finance. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It's sort of like
that,
pretty much the same thing that we're doing. We're trying to keep it in the family.
That's kind of like credit unions are doing. Notice how they have, like, the Bankers Federal Credit Union or Verizon Federal Credit Union or something like that. All the resources are coming from the inside, and it's community-based, whereas these banks are not necessarily doing that anymore. That, you know, we all know, like, the finance is not even real, and they're all corporate institutions. They're, like, completely corporate. Like, there is no community anything. The only reason they give back to any type of community thing is because they might want to bid on something, or they might have a bond for some type of contract. Let's say that they want to have a contract for doing low-income housing. Lehman Brothers might come in and underwrite or put a bond on there. That's because they have some type of vested interest. They want to be the underwriters for something. Well, federal credit unions are not doing those types of things. It's really all about the people who have a vested interest in that bank.
There you go.
It says credit union is a cooperative financial institution in which individuals pool their money, provide loans and services for others, and a nonprofit. Exactly what Bunch is talking about.
Yeah, that's kind of what I just said, how, like, they take the finance from the people who are interested, you know, the community or the collective. So a lot of times there, for example, you know how there's, like, the fire companies have a credit union, or, for example, the police have their own credit union?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That all benefits them, and so therefore they give to those people who are part of that credit union. They give to those people who are part of that credit union because they're all part of the same company or organization. And that's why it's easy to start up something, because it's not, it's like, that's the way, it's a real bank, whereas these new banks, they don't do that anymore. Like, you can't, you're not going to go to Wells Fargo and have to worry about your you know how these banks started folding and stuff like that, and people lost a lot of their finance? A lot of these mm-hmm. banks aren't doing that anymore. Like, it's not even real. We already know it's not even real money. Like, they're dealing with collaterals, the signature as the collateral and things like that. Not to say that these credit unions are not doing that, but the smaller ones are definitely based off of a cooperative model as opposed to Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and things like that, where it's all stock.
Right.
All right, now, so if we get Moore's Credit Bank, credit union,
that's right.
We be getting it going on.
But that's what enclaves do. When you go to a huge one, they have their own bank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna say everybody. But the ones that are established financially, like, you don't really, matter of fact, these Chinatowns, they're not really communities. They're a big commercial district. I don't know where they live at. I've never been in an Asian community. I've only been in a big-ass commercial district, Chinatown. Now, if you're in the other areas where it's straight China, some of them live above the stores and on the boats. But, I mean, you got to think about it. They have one of the perfect models. They don't even have to live where they're doing business because they're so successful in what they're doing in commerce. They set the mm-hmm. business out in front of them, some other area, got the homes in some other area.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else that the people need to know about this? At a credit union, which we would have, like the Moore's Credit Union, all of the people who are making the deposit would actually be a member. And each
That's
member
right.
is the owner of the credit union. We're at a bank, you know, which some people feel like is the end-all, be-all. But for us, it might not work because at the bank, you have customers. Now, our bank, our Moore's Bank, would be for these outside people. You know what I mean? Because they're customers. And the customers don't have any type of ownership or any type of interest in the institution, which would be our bank, which is owned by us. And the banks would be owned by investors. So you take the largest investors that you have from the Moore's Credit Union, and you make them investors who own that bank. But just because you're an investor doesn't mean you have to be a depositor. And since in credit unions, the owners are members, it doesn't matter how much money they have on deposit, one vote, everybody gets one vote. You know what I mean? You don't have any type of vote when you deposit your money into a Bank of America. And credit union boards are comprised of volunteers who reflect the diversity of the membership. Bank board members are paid, and they don't have to reflect any type of diversity of anybody that's putting finance into that institution that's made up of investors. Credit unions, like you said, are not-for-profit, and they're financial cooperatives, and the earnings are paid back to the members in the form of higher savings rates and lower loan rates, which is what we want to have for the people. We want, like you said, those people to come back to us because those children were doing the lawns, as you said earlier, for their own community, and they had jurisdiction of their own block. When it's time to expand and need equipment, they should be going to our credit union. They shouldn't have to go to no daggone Wells Fargo.
There you go. With Dallo, we'll say that we have a vacant store in the community that the community is now officially taken over. I think a good idea was when you get the store and you're able to provide something that's for the community and anybody else to come in and purchase something, that we can start offering stock to the employees in the store so that they can be part owner of the store as well. Because I know I'd be willing to work hard, 10 times harder if I know I'm part of owner of it and just get a paycheck and go on.
I even like it better if we just give them the majority of your stock.
Mm-hmm.
No, but that's empowering our people, man, and making sure that we have great customer service and happy employees. Employees' attitude reflects the leadership. So if everybody eating, you don't have to worry about nobody stealing from you.
There you go.
You know, so that's you know, they go home happy. Nobody, you want to make it where we're happy to walk to work or drive to work, own a company. Mm-hmm. Like Winn-Dixie. If you're at Winn-Dixie, you own some of that stock. You know, if you're there for a while, it's a grocery store in the South, Winn-Dixie. But that's a great idea. It's a great idea.
Okay.
And we have the most. I'm really, you know, I told you I wasn't going to be talking about it no more. I'm happy.
We're all excited because I see the potential. And just the spot where we at, that's tremendous potential. We're one square block, and there's enough ground up in there available to feed the entire side of town, let alone the block. Now, you talking about urban geoponics and urban aquaponics, man, this is awesome. Everybody's excited about it. Brother come all the way up from Crescent City. He said, man, I'm going to start bringing stuff up here, putting it down on the ground. Okay, bro.
That's right.
You take a set up a system, and we used to do it all the time when I was doing construction work, and most of you all have seen this setup and probably hadn't paid no attention. Well, this pump is steady gushing water out of it, and the water coming straight out the ground. So you're talking about being disconnected from the grid. We said, well, no, how are you, man? There's a ton of things that we can do to be self-sustaining in our community when we create a proper infrastructure and control and protect that infrastructure. All we need is our cooperativeness. And we don't have to worry about the community, because once they know that they're going to profit, how they profit, what they profit, where they profit, when they profit, who said they can profit, and through all the benefits to be gained and the losses to be avoided, they write down their whistles.
One of the beautiful things about having all these different moors together, which I don't know how many people thought about it, the different things that we bring to the table. I mean, the different legal aspects, the theocracy, the just philosophy of culture that we bring has never really been brought to the table to work as a unit. And this is the perfect opportunity to put it to the test. Like, we're not doing the egos. That stuff get checked at the door. Whatever you practice in your religion, you keep it, that's personal. You keep it at the door, like Malcolm said.
Okay.
And, we getting this thing on board, man. It's just I always saw that. I was like, when I got in, and you know, when you travel and I lectured and I would see all these conversations, I was like, wow, man. Do you never know that these people are so sharp in Delaware, or they're so sharp in Chicago, Tallahassee, Georgia, but they never. The only way they saw each other was on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then you know, if they did see each other on Facebook, they never really had an opportunity to, you know, sit down, eat, break bread, and come up. But what happens is when we finally get together, all we want to do is talk. I mean, because we don't really have that many people that build and talk like us or think like us. So when we get 150, 200 people in the room, we just talking. We like, damn, yeah. But the talk has to be about a strategic plan, and that's how the Summit of the Moors came out, like a strategic plan laid out. I mean, we don't have to be like you know, begging for money, because we're funding it ourselves. It's like this: you see the boat, get on it. Now to keep the boat going, you got to put something in it. That's it. I mean, it's not we doing it. we need money. Nah, shit, we need the money. I mean, how many times you got to say it? They not going to move without the money. That's Rakim. Okay? Drew Ali said it the best. You can't do anything without economic security, man. That's just the bottom line. No movement moves without money.
That's right. And make sure you let the brothers know that when they come up in the gym I created up in here, don't nothing in there move unless you move it.
That's right.
Down to 6 minutes and 55 seconds. So, Abundance, if you have any last information you want to drop on us, now's the time to let us have it.
Just be aggressive in your own community. Brother Taharka, you're going to have to download this show because he gave you some great ideas and how you can actually do what some of the Moors is proposing to do and is actually doing in your own community. I gave out some great information and how you could start your own collective, but with one or two people and keep building on that. And these people have to be people who are in alignment with the fact that we need to be economically independent before we are independent in anything else. A lot of people talk about how we need to be under one religion and those are the laws that are going to govern everything. Hell no. Nah. You don't even have a place that you can call your own that you don't have to rent. You know, so we need to be economically independent. And the good thing about talking about being economically independent is that we can be inclusive of each other. You know, light brown, dark brown, more black, whatever. We all know for a fact that we all strive to get off this plantation mentally, physically, and spiritually, whatever that means. But we all know that that's something that we need to do. And the people who don't know that that's something we need to do, leave them where they're at because we need to stay focused and we don't need any more distractions. It's very simple. Start buying from your own people. Start creating opportunities for your own people. And that's pretty much it. If you have any questions about what I'm doing personally in my community, you can get at me at communitycolearning@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook. You can't add me as a friend, but you can subscribe to my page, Abundant Shot, or you can like my fan page, Abundant Shot, or you can join the Abundant Shot Network on Facebook. That way you have access to everything that I'm actually doing. I'm also on I'm on Google Plus. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on MySpace. So abundantshot@gmail.com. And finally, my office number is 347-766-6717. That's 347-7-MOOR, M-O-O-R, 17.
Okay. Diallo, we have 4 minutes.
I'm good, man. I don't have anything to say.
Okay. You know what? You know what, Abundance?
Yeah.
I just think it'll be better if you just tell us about the places that you ain't at.
Listen. Let me tell you. I ain't at the club anymore. All right? I'm
all right.
Tell you about that. Unless
I'm
going to you know, you know, I'm not in the Catholic Church. That's where I grew up, but I'm not there anymore.
Okay.
But no, real talk. I strive to have a media monopoly. I strive to continue to work with brothers like the Harka, MBTV One. I just signed on Brother Mbwebe Ishangi from the Ghetto Times to the Abundance Network. I'm trying to get with anybody who's putting relevant information out there that we are so tough that you can't go anywhere else. We need to have the monopoly on this because we talk about having these communities and things, and we talk about these banks and how we're dealing with the aquaponics and, I mean, excuse me, the urban geoponics, but we need to have a media monopoly because that's what's going to get the information out to the people in a way that we can be very inclusive about it too. So that's why I work with God Hot Movement, and I work with Guerrilla Republic, so anything that's left in the hip-hop movement that I feel as though, you know, needs to be published, that's why I work with Guerrilla Republic. But, nah, I'm real serious about I need to be everywhere because when you post something, Taharka, and you're not on Google+, you're not on Twitter, I make sure that that information gets out to that audience, too. So I need to be everywhere. I'm called abundant for a reason.
Okay. All right, Sutla. Well, I'm certainly glad that we was able to get together. And, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have no way of knowing if you all had was watching us live here on MVTV 1, but we are there. And we also man in our switchboards here on Blog Talk Radio. And the time is fleeting. I'm going to have to say good night. And Brother Diallo, Sister Abundance, it's been a pleasure. And we're going to have to get together and do this again. I've been your host, Haka Amana El Bay. And until next time, y'all have a good evening.
Peace.
And right foot. right. Your chakra with your left.